You're listening to Marketplace Weekend. I'm Molly Wood, in for Lizzie O'Leary. Let's talk about one more neighborhood. It's actually my neighborhood, or at least my town, Oakland, California. And it's a pretty textbook example of the effects of gentrification. Susie Cagle is a journalist. She wrote about Oakland's changes for Curbed.com. In her piece, she profiles a specific house. It's at 2523 Martin Luther King Jr. Way on the west side of town. And like most houses in the area, it's a flip. Susie's here to tell us more. Hey, Susie.
Hi.
So let's talk a little bit about this house. You wrote about this one particular property as kind of this microcosm of gentrification in Oakland. Let's go back in time then to 2008. What was happening to properties like the one you profiled on Martin Luther King Way?
So in 2008, people were losing their homes all over America, but especially in Oakland and other poor communities, especially communities of color. And the neighborhood, especially around 2523 Martin Luther King Jr. Way, was particularly hit by these foreclosures. And while a lot of people were losing their homes that they had invested in, these were also great investment opportunities for others. And that's what happened with 2523 and many other homes. They were cheap. They were bought up on the cheap, houses for $50,000, $100,000 that are now in this market almost a million.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so let's talk about then what happened to the neighborhood after these houses were foreclosed on, snatched up by investors. In some cases, it sounds like they're pretty corrupt investors.
Yeah, I mean, even the good investors did not really do right by the neighborhoods. They bought large swaths of neighborhoods, and even when they had the intention of fixing up these properties and renting them out, they took those properties out of contention for ownership. So they used to have these neighborhoods where people owned their homes and lived in their homes, and then they're foreclosed and they leave, and then you have this period of blight where there's no one there, and then someone comes in, buys that property at a foreclosure auction or directly from a owner who is underwater in their mortgage and wants to get out of it as easily as they can, and they fix up the property. Sometimes they fix the foundation and the roof, and sometimes they just put new paint on. And instead of choosing to sell those properties, for the most part, those properties were rented out. And ultimately what happened was that many people lost the opportunity to buy, and now they're renters.
Is there still a parallel, would you say, between that time period, 2008 to, say, 2010, 11, and now in terms of the kind of unequal distribution of mortgages? You talk a lot in your piece about how people of color were disproportionately locked out of mortgages. Is that the case as these neighborhoods gentrify now too?
That's what the numbers say. There was there's data from mortgages in 2013 that show that people of color in Oakland are disproportionately not getting those mortgages. It's just they're just not available to them at all compared to the early 2000s, you know, about 10 years ago when people of color were getting those mortgages and they were getting bad deals. They were targeted with bad deals. Now the problem is that people of color are not even getting an opportunity to buy a home, even if they have the credit and the money.
And we know that the kind of crash in 2008 was preceded by a run-up on prices. We have a huge run-up on prices now in the Bay Area. Are there any safeguards to prevent the kind of mass foreclosures from happening again?
I guess the safeguard is that we presume that the people who own houses here are now much more rich. I don't know if there's actually any real policy safeguard besides, you know, presuming that people aren't getting those subprime loans, that when they're getting a mortgage, there's an income check, and that there are more stringent safeguards on who's getting what kind of loan. But I think that you could say that this housing market, especially in Oakland, is still at great risk. It's just at a different kind of risk. Now it's people who maybe they have a really well-paying job right now, but who's to say what is going to happen to the technology industry in the coming years and how many people will continue to have those jobs and what happens if they don't have that job? Are they still able to pay that mortgage? And now these mortgages are huge. They're jumbo loans to pay for these million-dollar-plus homes. So housing researchers that I spoke with for the story and other reporting that I've done are nervous. They're not feeling like this won't necessarily happen again.
That's Susie Cagle, a journalist writing from Oakland. Thanks so much for your time, Susie.
Thanks so much.